The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the show Gab Marcotti, joins us, as does Yanar Fjortoff. We'll start in the Europa League. Manchester United beating FC Copenhagen by 1-0, with Bruno Fernandes' penalty in extra time proving to be the difference between the two teams. Craig, in the end, the quality shone through?
Yeah, absolutely. The size of the squad shone through, the quality of the players shone through in terms of the playing budget of Copenhagen and how well they've done with that budget and how well Solbakken's done compared to United, I think, told in the end. But, I mean, it wasn't without, some panic for Man United during that half, particularly the second half when Falk got into those great positions. There was a couple of times where you thought they played the extra pass too many. But I said to you, Dan, getting to about 75, 80 minutes, that Copenhagen looked absolutely knackered. Yep. As soon as it was heading towards extra time, and the game became so open and expansive, it did look like there was only going to be one winner, because United could utilise the bench, they could utilise their pace, and they could utilise that extra bit of quality.
Yeah, and in the end, United just kind of ground them down, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Having said that, I think Copenhagen did well, as Craig said, different level of the team and everything. Created some good chances, but the potential winners, the potential match winners, at Manchester United, I mean, there's a lot of them. I think that the penalty was easy, but Bjelland, the Copenhagen defender, gave the referee a chance to give it. It was the 21st penalty of Manchester United this season, so have a bit of luck there. But at the end of the day, that was a deserved win for Manchester United.
Yeah, Gab, what did you make of the penalty?
Again, it's one of those seen them given type situations. I did get the sense, I mean, as Craig alluded to, by that stage of the game, Copenhagen, who I thought had been really remarkable, if they weren't going to give the penalty, United would have probably found another way to score. But I do think this is a game where you look back on, and with all the praise in the world for Ståle Solbakken, I thought United were completely unprepared for the way Copenhagen play, and it did feel like perhaps they underestimated them a little bit.
The penalty kick is something that intrigues, I think, the supporter, the armchair fan, regarding VAR. Because I agree with Jan, I think it was on the soft side. I mean, the trouble is, if you touch somebody in the box like that, particularly around the shoulder, there's always a chance the referee may give it. But I can hear the screams from those watching at home. We have the technology, we have the VAR. But the problem is, with incidents like this, they are so subjective that it's hugely unlikely, if improbable, that a VAR official is going to, if he's not sending the referee to the monitor, that is, going to overturn the decision on his own. Because it's not a black and white call, it's a subjective call, it's an instinctive call. And I think for those people that felt it was soft, that's the reason VAR will not get involved in something like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those you feel if the referee didn't give it, VAR wouldn't tell him to go to the monitor either.
No, exactly. I'm like kind of old-fashioned, try to be modern. I respect VAR and offside, even if it's an inch, it's an offside or not offside, is easy. But if you take a decision to that two, four referees sitting somewhere in a small house somewhere in Europe, and they will have four different opinions. So if that was not given, that people would have said, no, just play on. But need to be said as well that the goalkeeper of Copenhagen, Jonsson, he had a game of his life. Mm-hmm. And Manchester United hit the post twice, and he was just like unbelievable. And I just had a feeling that he would save Bruno Fernandes' penalty, which he didn't. And then Manchester United, and talking about being knackered going into the extra time, I think you just see the face of the Manchester United players as well. Oh, it's the longest season in the history, and now we have to do extra time, and we still got our Champions League place anyway. So, but it was a quite okay game. It was a competitive game, At the beginning, it was very, very slow, which was good for Copenhagen. But then slowly, so to say, Manchester United upped the speed of the game.
But to go back to that just brief point that Gab made, I think if United play like that against better teams, OK, people might remember the last half hour of injury, of extra time, and then maybe the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, because that's fresh in the mind. But if they play like they did for the first, say, 70 minutes against an Inter or a better side, I think they'll get carved open.
He went strong, though, didn't he? This is pretty much full strength.
Yeah, he went strong, I think, because it's important. He's seen Mikel Arteta get a trophy under his belt as the Arsenal manager, and it's something you want to get off your back. He's got the Champions League sorted now through his league position. We've discussed that. So why not? Why not go for it? And that's what he did. But, I, you know, to Gab's point, I thought for long periods there wasn't a great deal between the sides.
Yeah, and you look at it, don't you, and you look at the way that Manchester United approach this game, and Craig is right. When it comes to the semi-final, it'll either be Wolves or Sevilla. Will be a much tougher task.
It will, and I mean, there was two Norwegians, and I was watching a game at Norwegian TV, and the commentators was always saying it's going to be a miracle if Copenhagen knock them out. But in the last round, they did a quite good home game against the Turkish champions and winning 3-0. But it's a different class. And you just feel whatever cup they are playing, Manchester United, someday they will end up meeting Wolverhampton. And now they can do the same thing again. Sevilla, we know they're very competitive in Europe. Particularly, they have a coach that knows his business. So we'll see how much energy, how much elan there is in the Manchester United team to go all the way. But of course, you are one game away now from a European final. And at Manchester United, it's all about wins. And it's a great point from Craig there. When you see Arteta, how important that is for his career when he's starting off as a coach, winning a trophy and a soldier. I mean, that's going to be his dream. And that's why he put out a very strong team today.
These Norwegians are everywhere, aren't they?
Yes.
They're all over. Can't keep them down.
No, on the show now
on
and
the
everything.
Show, they managed to get Clamber one on the show. There's two in management tonight. How's that happen?
I'm surprised Jan's even had time to talk to us, considering how busy he's been on Twitter following the Jadon Sancho story, of course. Oof. A major development today. This is what Michael Zorc had to say, the Borussia Dortmund sporting director. We plan on having Jadon Sancho in our team this season. The decision is final. I think that answers all our questions. We had adjusted his salary last year in accordance with his performance. In doing so, we extended the contract until 2023. Jan, is that it? Done and dusted. There is no way Jadon Sancho is moving to Manchester United this summer.
I believe Zorc that what he's saying. He's not lying today. Zorc's problem is that he said the same thing about Dembele and Aubameyang. That is his problem. And he got to stick to that. The big surprise today was that when they gave him a better contract last summer, they extended that contract with 1 year. I will wait till we have Sancho on a press conference saying, I'm so looking forward to play another season for Dortmund. Then I will believe Zorc. We'll see. This is turning into a poker game. There are two clubs trying to sell their stories. And my God, there are some English journalists who love to sell the Manchester United story.
Little dig there, I felt, Craig, didn't you?
Well, I think what they're doing here is if they are going to lose the player, as Jan said, it's a game of bluff now about just how much.
Right.
And how long this is going to drag on. Now, Mark Ogden, you know, was on a week or two ago and said United have got a history of dragging these transfers on and sometimes not getting them done. We know Solskjaer in particular, but the club, we know they want this player. It's how long they're going to drag the heels from a boardroom and financial level to try and meet the requirements that are going to allow Borussia Dortmund to say, OK, we've reached the ceiling in terms of the price, we're going to take it and we're going to sell you the player.
It's a gamble, though, of course, Jan, because next summer is the Euros. You expect Jadon Sancho to go there, play for England, and you imagine if he puts in a good performance, then his price tag's going to rise even more.
Well, I think the problem for Dortmund is that they hope that coming into the summer now, there were going to be along a lot of bidders. So the 120 million euro price tag was given to him when they thought there would be more clubs in for him. Now the only potential buyer will be Manchester United. And Manchester United, on their hand, they need that kind of player because this is Manchester United. To get the hottest property in this transfer window will make them look very, very good. But believe me, this Zorc deal, the Zorc statement today, they feel like they do. They want to keep the player. But as I've said, as I said now many times, Sancho got to confirm this, but Sark, there is a great dialogue between the player and the club. So we'll just now see. This is still a poker game, and I just get a feeling that this will drag on for another couple of weeks.
Oh, you'll love that, Craig.
Have I got any holidays, but at the end of the day, no, but just briefly, at the end of the day, you know, United and I, well, listen, they are, I suppose, in some sense, they can do what they want. But from a playing position, from a league position, from a chasing City and United, City and Liverpool, if we're just talking domestically, without even going into the big European stage, the Champions League, we've just seen them in the second tier of European football. But if they are wanting to bridge that gap, I'm afraid sitting on the hands, waiting to the last minute to try and get deals done is not going to help. Mm. They need to get, and I think the manager realises that, they need to pinpoint the right players, and they're probably going to have to pay over the top. Now, in the current climate, with the pandemic that we're facing and just come through, and we're still coming through it, and with the shutdown and with the financial burdens that have come with that, are United prepared to do that? So they're compromised. They might have to compromise their finances to start pegging back the two real big boys at the top. You leave it to the last minute, you're getting a player coming in late or potentially a player not coming in at all. That's really difficult from a coaching perspective.
Jan, what's Sancho's stance on all of this?
Well, we've been told that they've agreed personal terms with Manchester United. I mean, that's the easy part. But the thing is that Sancho is English. He wants to get home at one stage. But I would think that with the story that Dortmund got with Dembele and Aubameyang, who went to strike to leave the club, it's very important for them to have a good dialogue with Sancho. So now when Sark goes out and say this, the statement today said he will stay here, we'll see how long that trust or anything will stick. I mean, he is in Dortmund in a normal season. They will have 81,000 each game. They have the yellow wall. It's a great life. It's still not England. And what Craig said is a good point, because you can't drag out a negotiation like they do. And I think that the fans, they are sick of Manchester United just using so many weeks and months to do these deals. And then they have a look at Liverpool, like today, get a new defender in, chop, 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 he's in. And then Manchester City, suddenly a couple of players in. And Manchester United just keep to drag on and on around any deals they're doing. They saw now how important that Bruno Fernandes deal was for them. That was a game changer. That was the Champions League for them. To take the next step, they need a player like Sancho. And a 20-year-old English international being available, and they've been told the price, 120 million euro, just pay it and the player is yours.
It's going to be interesting, or not, one of the two. But just to make that point, and do you remember a couple of years ago, Mourinho had just taken United into second, 81 points, with a...
Not 66.
15 more than 66, with a pretty average side. And then he wanted to, and okay, maybe they didn't think he was going to be the man long term, but he wanted to kick that on, second place. We saw him in LA.
Yep.
He was over here for the ICC. Oh, was he miserable. Mm-hmm. He made me look like Mr. Happy.
Yeah, because he knew.
He knew he wasn't getting what he needed, what he wanted, what he thought was the players that were going to take him to that next level. And he was stomping around. He was miserable. He was horrible. Because things were not happening behind the scenes. They were dragging their feet. If that happens again, you know, United are going to be chasing their tail next season.
A lot more talk about the future of Jadon Sancho on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to go over to the website and download that. Gab and Jules are joined by... Oh, Jan Arfjortov from his car. What a moment. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In the other quarterfinal today, Inter Milan with a 2-1 victory over Bayer Leverkusen to book a place in the semis. Gab, maybe the only surprising thing from this tie is that Inter didn't win by more.
Well, look, Dan, they certainly had the chances, and you did get the sense at one point, oh my goodness, is this a film we've seen before where Inter dominate, don't convert their chances, and then give up a silly goal towards the end and throw it all away. It didn't happen. It didn't happen partly because of Bayer Leverkusen's shortcomings, but also partly because they kept pushing on the gas till the very end. Obviously, a lot of praise for Lukaku, but also big shout-out to Barella in midfield and Diego Godin getting another start in place of Milan Skriniar at the back.
Bayer Leverkusen, they'll be disappointed, Jan. They just didn't seem to be up for it.
No, they didn't, and they were lucky that they escaped only a 2-1. But this is typical Bayer Leverkusen. When the goings get tough, they kind of disappear. And if you are bored by the Sancho soap opera, just make yourself ready for the Harvard soap opera that will start tomorrow. Because Rudi Völler said, as long as we're in the European League, we won't talk about Harvard. We want 100 million euro for him. And he can do a Sork statement because he need money. So if he don't get money from Harvard, he has to sell other players. So he's starting tomorrow live on ESPN.
Oh, we look forward to that 24 hours, 7 days a week, talking about Kai Havertz and his future.
The interesting thing I was looking at, where you brought up, was Lukaku. You know, I like to look at all comps. I think it's 31.
Yeah.
That's his most ever for any club. I think looking down the stats I've got anyway, and it's on the app here. You know, he's 26, I think, a year or two ago at Man United. But that's the most he's had. So, you know, in terms of doing what Antonio Conte wanted him to do, in terms of what they paid for him to do, the physicality that he's brought, I think it would be hard to criticise. I mean, is it possible he goes closer to 40 goals, bearing in mind his age, his experience now, and the team that he's playing? And I think it is. I absolutely think it is. But I think
he's only got two games left this season.
I meant next year.
Oh, okay.
I meant next season, when they should be really challenging Juve all the way. And I think when you go to Italy, to a big club like that, going to any big league, as a player who, you know, got a lot of criticism at Man United in terms of was he wanted, was he not, did he do enough? I think that's a good return, a really good return.
How does this tournament play out with regard to Conte's future quickly, Gab?
Well, look, I mean, Inter reached the semi-final in the Champions League for the first time since they won the treble under Jose Mourinho. I think he realized that his outburst, it didn't gain any traction with the media, with public opinion. So I think it's back in the box from him. Anything he's got to say, he's going to say in private.
Europa League, not Champions League, but we know what you were saying, Gab. Jan, we haven't spoken to you in a while about Kai Havertz. Where's he going to go?
Chelsea.
That's it. Done, dusted. So then we now know then Inter are through to the semi-finals, as are Manchester United. Inter in the nicer end of the bracket. They'll play the winners of Shakhtar Donetsk against Basel. Meanwhile, United will take on the winners of Wolves against Sevilla.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
It's Barca against Bayern on Friday in the Champions League, and former Bayern midfielder Lothar Matthäus is confident that his former side can get the job done. Of course, Barcelona have got the quality to give the best of themselves in a knockout tie, but I think that Bayern would have to really play badly to lose the current Barca side. Jan, it's the only time we're going to get the chance to talk to you looking ahead to that game. Does this sum up Bayern overall? Are they all this confident?
Well, I think it sums up Lothar Matthäus winning the World Cup and being a Bayern legend. But he's right. Bayern Munich at the moment looking very good. It's my favourite to win the Champions League. But I think when you play Barcelona, and I think Jerome Boateng will remember that day in No Camp when Messi looked like a cartoon back there. So a team will lean on Messi. There will always be a chance in there. But Bayern Munich at the moment with Lewandowski must be, and Craig will underline this, he will be so devastated about not Ballon d'Or going to the pole this season. He's scoring goals for fun, making assists, and they look strong at the back. There is a great competitive for the team, and in the team, the atmosphere is brilliant. So I would say that Bayern Munich will be good favourites. Do they have to play badly to lose against Barcelona? No, I don't agree with the World Cup winner Lothar Matthäus.
Dangerous, though, isn't it, to take Barcelona and a victory for granted?
Yeah, because if he turns it on, and by he I mean Messi,
yep,
and they have a solid day in terms of the shape, without being spectacular, he can be the Mr. Spectacular. That's all it takes. That game Jan mentioned was incredible. The way that he dropped Boateng on his backside was quite embarrassing, actually, to see a World Cup winner go down like that, but that's what he can do. If memory serves me right, Guardiola got a bit too clever with Bayern that evening in terms of he tried to change the whole shape of the team on several occasions. He was trying to figure out how to stop Barcelona and it didn't happen. Hansi Flick here has been a little bit more straightforward in his approach. He's been clever, but they've been more straightforward in how they've done it, and they've really gelled and understood what he's tried to do. He's made little subtle changes, but in general, they've played the same way, changed the personnel now and again. Stevie touching it the other night. David Alaba at the back has been absolutely sensational as a left-sided centre-back, and that's allowed Alphonso Davies to grow on that left-hand side. They're very strong in the middle of the park. They've got runners from midfield if they need it. They've got Thiago, who's the little passer. We know Müller's strengths. And it goes without saying, with 53 goals, how the hell is this Barcelona back four going to stop the supply to Lewandowski? Because you know it's coming. Mm. And I do think if Bayern play a sensible, smart, patient game, I really think they can take this Barcelona team apart. I really do.
And that's why you feel that if they don't get the win and they don't book a place in the semi-finals, that this is going to be a huge blow, isn't it, to an otherwise brilliant season from Bayern?
Yeah, it will. But I think what we know now, that they will go to the Champions League tournament in Lisboa. There are different... We will never see a tournament where teams are so in different kind of preparations going into this. Bayern Munich seemed, against Chelsea, had to be said, a tired Chelsea team. We saw that in the FA Cup final as well. But still, they look like they have used that time very well. Barcelona then playing a bit longer, of course. But Bayern Munich with Hansi Flick, they have managed to make an atmosphere in the team that I haven't seen in a Bayern team since Jupp Heynckes were there. And Jupp Heynckes, well, he won the treble back in 2013. So this is a great Bayern side with great, great players in there. There is so much competitiveness in that team. So yes, we can see them go all the way. But as we saw when Copenhagen playing Manchester United, it's not that easy for the favourites to do their things. And just talking about Bayern being a big, big favourite against any team that Messi is playing in, I'm not having that.
Yeah, but you don't say it very often, but with Barcelona. But I think it rings true at the moment. It's a damn good time to be playing them.
Yeah.
And yet that sounds strange, a European superpower. But it just looks like the way they've been playing since Valverde was sacked and Setien came in and the problems behind the scene with Abidal and all the sort of nonsense that's sort of in Messi even get involved this season and the off-the-field stuff, which he never really does before. On top of that, they've not been able to fit Griezmann in. They've had injury problems. Suarez hasn't played well. And so when you take that and then take the way Bayern have resurrected their season after the sacking of Kovac, It's a bloody good time to be playing Barcelona. It's theirs to lose.
That is the third Champions League quarter-final that kicks off on the Friday. Of course, preceding that, it's Atalanta against PSG, then Leipzig against Atleti. And then the fourth quarter-final is on Saturday. Manchester City against Lyon. We'll be looking ahead to Atalanta against PSG in some detail on tomorrow's show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Extra Time is always worth checking out over on our YouTube channel. This yesterday, everyone's smiling. Ian, Jules and Robbo. Today it's Gab, Jan and Craig.
So what, I mean, what's all this smiling and laughing?
Well, last Extra Time we did before today is you stormed off.
Yeah, you were annoying me.
Well, it's because you were talking about the Champions League being diluted.
And I was done.
Was it diminished, diluted?
No, it wasn't that. I'm on a time limit.
Are you busy? Are you really busy life?
If I go over it, I have to clock out. And if I've been a bit... You were annoying me. That's all it was.
Oh, there you are. Well, it wasn't making any sense. Thank you very much then to Craig.
I thought it froze.
Yeah, right. Oh. That old chestnut. Thank you very much to Craig, to Jan and to Gab. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig Burley with me in the studio today. What a moment. Gab Marcotti with us, as is Jan. Jan has got David Beckham peering over his left shoulder. I assume that's with your son, Jan?
That is my son, who kind of cut his hair like David Beckham for 6 years. It was unbelievable.
Did he go all mohawk and everything?
He stopped there.
Oh, really? Stopped. That was it. Okay. Craig, Lindelof was the only defender in the Premier League that wasn't dribbled past this previous season. Even though they paid such a large fee for him, should Manchester United be looking to upgrade Maguire instead of Lindelof?
He was the only defender that wasn't dribbled past.
Yep, there you go.
Where's Frank getting these? He's getting these. Actually, Lindelof had a tough time at the start at United, like a lot, and has definitely improved. There's no doubt about it, he's improved. Maguire had a good season, not a great season. I don't know if they're looking for another centre-half. I think they might be, unless he thinks he's got enough. With Smalling coming back, and Jones and Bailly, don't think so.
So excited by this.
As soon as you said dribble past, I switched off.
Gab, why are English players so overpriced and also overrated? Martial is far better than Rashford, but he is criticised far more often. Maguire and Wan-Bissaka are overpriced.
Well, all right, a couple of things there. So, first of all, Rashford is a couple years younger than Martial. And I think that matters as well. Martial's a guy approaching mid-career. Rashford is still 22. But beyond that, I think in general, there's an economics game in there when you talk about English players, simply because you pay a premium when you sign them, because you know they're not moving to a different country, they're not going to have cultural differences, and you know they're going to speak the language. So I think that explains part of it. And part of it is also these players are easier to sell. Because if you bring in a guy from South America, for example, and you pay a lot of money for him and he doesn't work out, and maybe he wants to go back to South America, all of a sudden you're facing a loss. With English players, you normally find a club. In the past, it was Sunderland. More recently, it's been clubs like West Ham, Stoke, when they were in the Premier League, where you could normally go and sell the guy on without any problems. And I think that's part of the reason why it is, there is a premium built in there, and that's why you end up paying more. Now, does this, in these two guys you mentioned, you can probably also factor in the Manchester United premium, which is when you're selling a club to Manchester United, because you know United are loaded with money, if they really want the player, you know you can push the price up. If Maguire or Wan-Bissaka had moved to Arsenal, I guarantee you they wouldn't have cost 70 million and or 50 million or whatever it was they paid for Wan-Bissaka.
Jan, who you have in, Martial or Rashford?
Martial has turned into a good striker after Solskjaer made him being a striker. But I think that I would go for Rashford.
See?
What?
That's a Norwegian saying that, not an Englishman.
No.
Bumming up the English.
Yeah, no.
I mean, exactly. Martial's got 23 this year, all comps.
All comps.
But it was 12 last year, the year before, and I think 11 and some. So, you know.
So he's getting better?
Well, it's one season, which is what I've said.
Right.
It's one season. He needs to do it for a long period. Listen, as a Scotsman talking about English players, yes, all players are overpriced these days. That's the market. But English players are not overrated. Rashford's a magnificent talent.
Were you overpriced because you were Scottish?
Well, actually, it was quite big money back then.
Yeah.
What was it?
How much?
2.5 million.
2.5 million.
And then 3 million, which was a lot of money back then.
It was.
But, you know, the Raheem Sterlings of this world, the Jadon Sanchos at Dortmund, they're not overrated players.
Yep.
People don't want them because they're English. People just want them because they're good.
Yeah, and what was your biggest transfer fee?
Packet of crisps.
Must have been 1.5 Middlesbrough, I guess. At that time, and when I went to Middlesbrough, was the record signing, and 2 years later, I wasn't even top five. But I think that English young players at the moment, they are not
No idea what Jan's saying.
I remember when we were...
his internet.
Jan, keep going. we faded you down, keep going. I remember as a player being in the dressing rooms and on the training ground thinking, you know, players were going, you know, Roy Keane went to United, I think, for, I'm guessing, maybe 4.5 or something. And we were all talking about wages and said, there'll never be £100,000 a week. We'll never see £100,000 a week,
right,
footballer. We'll never see these astronomical transfer fees. We just, in the 90s, the late 90s, when we were playing, early 2000s, it was the bubble was starting to blow up a little bit, or blow out a little bit, but not to the extremes. And all of a sudden, it was £100,000 a week was just an average wage.
Yeah.
It was quite incredible the way it's just grown.
How aware were you of what other players were on?
Oh, very.
Yeah. Was that a
you always had a good
was
idea.
Was that a bone of contention?
Not if you felt you were getting paid adequately.
Right.
If you felt you were getting paid a lot less than the person you were doing the same as a better job as, then that was a problem. But as long as everybody, and certainly, look, when I was at Chelsea, they were bringing, I was a youngster to come through along with Sinclair and Eddie Newton, Andy Myers, Dubry, all these guys. We were never going to get the same money as Gianluca Vialli coming in,
right,
as a Champions League winner. That's just not going to happen. But when I went to Celtic, we're all sort of on a level par, and you understood that. But if somebody was getting paid three or four times, you'd know about it.
Right, I bet.
I'd know about it.
I bet you would.
You'd make sure you knew.
Yeah, I bet. Gab, would Inter consider winning the Europa League in second place in Serie A a successful first season under Conte?
I think the first season's been a success even if they don't win the Europa League. And not just for the finish in the league, but simply because of the progress, the identity that Conte was able to form, how quickly he did it. Now, of course, he risks undermining it all with his occasional outbursts. But there's no question that the team has progressed substantially. They've generated even more enthusiasm. I mean, the fans were always there. But I don't think they need to win the Europa League to turn the season into a success. Obviously, it will be more of a success if they do.
Jan, should PSG risk Mbappe as he's fit and completed his first full training today with 2 days to go for the Atalanta game?
Well,
Yes, they should. It's all about Champions League for PSG at the moment, and Mbappé wants to play. I'm sure he would like to do that. But it's very hard from Norway to know how his ankle is or his foot is at the moment. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But sometimes people kind of leave them on the bench and give 20, 30 minutes at the end. The game could be decided then. So maybe it's better to let him start and then see how it goes.
Gab, how much of a miss is Josip Iličić going to be for Atalanta against PSG?
I mean, look, it's weird because he scored a ton of goals, including a ton of goals in the Champions League. But there's obviously something going on there because he's hardly played since the restart. I think Atalanta have been tremendous since the restart, and they've been tremendous without Iličić. So he's obviously a miss, but I think it's different when somebody's, you know, been out and you've shown that you can win and you've shown that you can be successful without him. I think you just experience it differently. It's completely different to when you lose your superstar from one day to the next. So I don't think it's quite as big a deal as, for example, their goalkeeper, Golini, being out, who's maybe a lesser star, but all of a sudden you got to turn to number two, Sportiello.
Craig, can you tell us whether Jerome Boateng is mentally strong enough to come up against Messi once again and this time get the better of him after what Messi did to him the last time they met?
I don't think you understand professional soccer psyche if you think that a player who's won World Cups and titles and all that is losing sleep over that again.
Right.
The second part of this is... will he be able to, what was it, face him or come up? I think what he'll try and do is not put himself, like every defender, you try not to put yourself in a position where you're isolated with him one-on-one, because that's difficult, clearly. So you try not to put yourself in bad positions, and that's the thing that Bayern have to be wary of. If he gets one-on-one in the penalty area or in around the 18-yard box, that's a problem. But as for, you know, big-time soccer players worrying about whether they had a bad game 2 or 3 years ago against a player or a team, how does that affect them going into this game? I would say not at all.
For Gab, Sarri had maintained that he needed 2 to 3 years for the team to learn to play his way. In light of that, do you think Juve were too quick to sack him, or was his Juve team, which had better squad, even worse than his Chelsea team in playing style, which got him the sack?
All right, well, look, I know there's kind of been an alternative history written about his Chelsea team, so I'm just going to say this once. The first half of the season, Chelsea played very, very well, and you know, right up until November, and they played the way he wanted them to play. There's a whole raft of reasons I won't bore you with about why things didn't quite work out after that. The issue with Juve is that at least at Chelsea, he had players who could play the way he wanted them to play. And for a while, we saw that. At Juventus, he is completely the wrong set of players. And he didn't have the courage, I think, to really embrace his own ideas. He didn't go and impose his style of football on the team, probably because he didn't feel that he had the capital to do so, probably because he felt, I can't force Cristiano Ronaldo to go and do the things that I want from a winger, not 35-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo. So he came up with this neither fish nor fowl weirdo hybrid where, as I've said before, the team had all the weaknesses of a Sarri team and all the weaknesses of an Allegri team. He didn't commit fully one way or the other, and so it was never a question of seeing his ideas. And I'll tell you what, he could have been there 2 years or 3 years. There was no forward progress. Cristiano Ronaldo would still have been there next year and the year after that, and he would still have these issues. This was never going to be a Sarri team as long as Cristiano was in it.
Jan has got problems with his Skype, so we can't hear him. So it's a mere thumbs up or thumbs down here, Jan. Any chance for Dortmund to win the Bundesliga next season with Sancho and Haaland? No.
But I think
thumbs up or down, Jan? We can't hear you. Oh, double thumbs up, no less.
Apparently, this is the way we're going to do every clip now, Jan. You're going to come on from Norway, but you're not going to be allowed to speak. All right.
Jan, thank you very much. We'll let you go. Considering recent form and overall skill, which of these forwards would be in the starting 11 for England in Euro 2021, Craig? Rashford, Martial, Martial. Right, Rashford, Calvert-Lewin, Ings, Kane, Sancho, Abraham, Sterling, Lingard.
Because of the recent form and overall skill, which will be probably going to start on 11 for...
We can get rid of Martial.
Yeah. Well, he might be in the starting lineup at the Euros, but yes. It won't be for England.
Yeah.
It'll be for France. And he's got a fair chance if he has another season like he does. Look, probably the answer would be Kane, I would say Sancho, Sterling.
Really?
Potentially.
Rashford sacrificed.
Yeah, potentially, depending on what happens with the Sancho move. A potential move in the summer could affect his Euros because if he moves to Man United, we don't know what it's going to produce. But I think that could be, or it could be, we could see all four of those if you throw Rashford in, depending on what shape.
Right.
Sterling could play a more central role behind Harry Kane, which he has, you know, he's played a central role at Man City at times. Gareth Southgate doesn't have to worry about that.
No. Right. The other end, however, is an issue.
The other end.
Yeah. Final question.
But Martial could do that. I mean, if England get Martial...
Yeah. Does he start then ahead of any of those three?
No.
No?
No, no, he doesn't. I mean, I would have Sterling in... At the moment, I'd have Sterling in any team.
Right.
And Harry Kane would only be behind Lewandowski when fully fit as a number nine.
Right.
And Jadon Sancho's the most coveted wide young player in European football at the moment.
Final question. Since Craig loves golf, can I sneak in a golf question? Is Gareth Bale the highest paid golfer in Spain?
Well, Sergio Garcia's not in Spain.
Right. But he earned more than Sergio Garcia, I'm sure, last year, didn't he? John Rahm would be someone who would...
John Rahm?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know because it would be endorsements.
Right.
The endorsements for these big... superstars, top 10 ranked players in the world. John Rahm was number one for a while there. So I don't know, but it could be, yes.
Going back to what we were talking about before, how much of a problem would you have for Gareth Bale getting paid the amount of money that he does compared to other people in that Real Madrid dressing room? How toxic is that?
Well, is he the highest paid player at Real Madrid?
Is he Gab? He must be, yeah?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yep.
But that's not his fault.
No, I understand. It's not his fault, but amongst the players, surely there is a...
Yeah, but it's not his fault that is Gab.
Well, Gab, what's wrong? Why are you doing that?
It's this whole thing, is that his fault? Like, the question is, would other people resent it? It's obviously not your fault if you sign a contract. But if you sign a contract and you don't play well enough to get into the team and your teammates, as has been suggested... feel that there's a reason, then they would say it's maybe your fault that you're not playing well enough to get into the team, right?
But even when he was playing well enough, there was issues and Zidane didn't pick him, and then he came on in the Champions League final, scored the most magnificent overhead kick.
Yeah. But that's not on your apologist ways. I'm talking about the fact that surely as a teammate, and you look at what he's done and he's brought to the table over the last 3 years.
I don't know exactly what Gareth Bale's attitude is like from day to day. If you're asking me, and I'm not going to cast aspersions whether it's good or bad, if you're asking me if I was in a dressing room with a player who was clearly getting paid a lot of money and more than most and not pulling his weight, would the players be resentful to that? The answer is yes. But if it's just a problem between him and the manager and nothing to do with attitude, there's not much a player can do about that.
Right.
So I don't know where the ball falls here.
Right.
I mean, lots of people have written about it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to question Gareth Bale's attitude because I don't know. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, why are you pulling the face again?
No. Look, Craig is entirely right. We're not there. We don't know. But I think what I will say, though, is if you see some of the antics with the face mask, and the falling asleep and kind of, you know, making it a point that he's not going to leave and he wants to be paid up. I do wonder if you're another player in that team and you're out there busting your rear end, and even if you see him working hard, I could see you wondering, you know what? If you weren't here and that money was used for players who would help us win the Champions League, I'd be better off. The club would be better off. We would all be better off. And I think, you know, that plays into it as well. I mean, regardless of whose fault it is, you know, maybe he is working harder than anybody else, and maybe it's just Zidane who doesn't like him. I don't know. But there's got to be a sense that if I'm part of a team and the team is spending, you know, an inordinate amount of resources on a guy who never plays, yeah, that would annoy the crap out of me.
The important thing is,
regardless of whose fault it is.
I think we're missing the big picture here. The important thing is, Gareth Bale has to make sure his handicap is going in the right direction.
But you've probably off a lower handicap than him. So how much free time does that mean you have compared to him?
Well, that's another question. I think you'll find I am pulling my weight.
Oh, yes?
Sometimes.
Yeah, right. Okay, Craig, are you back tomorrow?
Well, I'm not sure now. You know, I might not be pulling my weight.
Thank you very much to Craig, Gab, and Jan. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Till then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.